Does the world fill you with wonder?
No.
Do you marvel at human ingenuity?
No.
Do you dream of a better tomorrow for everyone?
Or myself.
At the Dharma Initiative, we do. And we'd like you to join us.
I'll join if you join the campaign to save Log Carrying Guy 08. Then and only then will I think about joining your little club.
From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the something edition of The Lost Podcast.
The something edition. My name is Jack.
And my name is Jay.
What, you just can't work you just can't work unless you're in front of a live audience?
You know, I prefer the live audience. I like it. It's like an energy that you feel.
It is funny because like the podcast, you're like Mr. Debbie Downer.
Oh, whatever.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Do we have to do it today? I say, let's do it because, you know, people want to hear what happened.
I did not say that. You're making it up.
I am not making it up.
Yes, you are.
This is like our third take because you couldn't. You're just not into it.
Uh-huh.
You need that.
People, please don't believe.
I did get to see the video, and I saw how you're just Mr. Energy in front of a live audience.
Uh huh.
You're a ham.
What is that supposed to mean?
You got an ego. You're sure ham a lot.
Uh huh. Sure. Ham a lot? You mean like Hamlet?
No, you're ham a lot.
Ham
it up a lot.
All right. I don't really get the reference, but
because you don't, because you're a ham.
Hams don't get the reference that you are a ham.
They don't get it. Hams are just not all there.
Well, hello, everybody. We are back from San Diego.
We're finally out of that line.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was a problem. We took a while because people said, hey, why don't you put out a podcast sooner? We were still in line. We weren't smart enough to realize the line it was over.
Yeah.
The Comic Con was over.
We were
still all standing at the convention center until yesterday.
Well, we thought there was a line. You had to get in a line to get out of the convention center.
Right. Yeah.
You
were still waiting for that Ghostbuster panel.
I know, man. Got canceled. My Ghostbuster panel got canceled.
But this is a Lost podcast, not dedicated to the Ghostbuster show on ABC.
There's no Ghostbuster show on ABC.
I know.
So here we are. We decided this little podcast to kind of talk about what we did at Comic-Con. We have a lot of video content coming up. We have the EW panel, showrunners
which
panel.
Which was very cool.
Yes.
You know what the best thing about that one?
Uh-huh.
Is you basically got all the information you got at the Lost panel without getting up at the crack of dawn.
Well, actually, in all fairness and honesty, I think the questions at the EW panel were better than the Lost panel.
I think the problem you have with the Lost panel is it's hard to ask a question that, you know, I think most people know what's happening.
Yeah.
It's harder to ask a question.
It's not so much that, like there's a lot of questions about the season finale and stuff like that could have been asked. It just people didn't really get into them during the Lost panel. There were a lot of kind of general ones that have been asked a lot.
I thought Sydney's was great.
Yeah, Sydney's was
Stewart's was great.
Yeah, Stewart's was great.
There were a couple other ones that were good. The guy that asked the question at our panel that didn't get answered at
the Lost panel.
At the Lost panel. I'd forgot about that till he asked the question. That's right. He asked the question, then they went to the whole Dharma video thing.
Yeah. But the last panel was still fun, but I think like for questions wise, I thought the EW panel had a meatier questions.
I think the last panel's great.
It's a lot of fun.
Damon and Carlton are hilarious.
They put on a better show than Jeff Loeb from The Heroes.
Oh yeah. Well, we don't want to get started on that one.
We got a phone call from Bitter Daryl.
Well, you're playing, which call are you playing?
Well, we're going to play the PG one, but I think we should ask him if it's okay if we play the R-rated one on the Jay and Jack
show.
It is hilarious.
It was
a lot of fun.
Well, the best thing about Bitter Daryl,
uh-huh,
and his wife Fallon,
uh-huh,
have been the first two people in line.
Two years in a row.
And I said, oh, yeah, you're first again. He goes, well, yeah, I sent my wife out of the Lost panel to get in line for this.
But the line for ours was pretty crazy this year. It went down pretty far.
It was insane. I think people thought Matthew Fox was going to be there.
Yeah.
The rumor someone started.
You.
Yeah, but...
But the Comic-Con was fun. Let's see, what did we do Wednesday? We saw Fringe.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it.
I don't want to give it away for people who haven't seen it.
It's a new J.J. Abrams show.
J.J. Abrams show. It's kind of predictable at the end what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'd like to see more episodes, see how it goes. Some of the
acting, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny.
Like, sometimes you could tell, like, it was still new. Some of the actors didn't click at certain moments.
Right.
But I think over time, when they give more time, it'll click a little bit better. It was cool to see Joshua Jackson.
Yes, you're a good friend, Joshua Jackson.
But it was a fun show, and definitely had that Abrams touch to it.
Now, going back to the Lost panel, I know a lot of people were upset ahead of time they didn't know Matthew Fox was going to be there. I said I was...
You should expect, like, if there's nobody on there, like, I guess it's 2 years in a row now that they've had surprise guests.
But I was happy because if Matthew Fox, if people knew Matthew Fox was going to be there, we had to get in line on Thursday.
Ugh.
That one lady who was screaming, and no, it was not me.
It was him.
It wasn't me. Some lady was, it was like the Beatles had walked out.
It was
stage.
Pretty funny.
I'm,
she was like, she looked about 40-something, an older woman.
She was probably my age.
Yeah.
And she's going, oh my God.
She was like a little kid. She's like,
Matthew Fox! It's Matthew. And I apologize if she's listening because I just thought it was fun. She was genuinely excited about
it.
And she's running up and down the aisle and she's like screaming. I go, well, you know you're not going to be able to touch him. He's mine. No. I kid. But no, but the way she was, it just was, she was so excited to see
yeah.
it. It was cool to see. I thought it was funny. And then
so,
you had Stewart ask his question, and he got the
Dharma Ranch,
and he was genuinely excited.
That was so cool.
Some people thought he was acting. Uh-huh. He was like on cloud nine. And the best part is, I got to hold the Dharma Ranch dressing.
Well, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. But
oh yes,
they gave. Let's try and go because we were in Wednesday, then we jumped ahead to Saturday again.
Well, how do we do that?
Because of you.
I'm sorry.
But Thursday, nothing.
Well,
really
Wednesday. Your girlfriend, Amelia Earhart, wanted to go down there early.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, there's really no reason to get down there early. We can get down there 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It took like 10 minutes last year. Well, mm-hmm. I get down there about, 5 o'clock?
You get there around 5.
And I called you right away and said, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but there's like a big line outside the building here. I don't know if it's to get into a panel or something like that.
Yeah.
That was the line to get your pass.
I know.
I said, this is crazy. And so I was in line for like 45 minutes before you guys cut. And I started letting people go ahead of me because there's a part that gets blocked off. Then you guys finally caught up with me.
Well, yeah, luckily you got in line before us.
But. Yeah, so I waited there for 45. And people kept asking. I said, and people were taking cuts and stuff, which is just not right.
But yeah.
I didn't care because I was waiting for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just letting people.
Yeah. Yeah. But, because Ralph said, he was like, I just come now. There's nobody. I was like, no, Jack wants to do a little bit later, and we'll meet all up there, and we'll just do it then. But,
We had family.
See, it was your lack of LT jersey. It just kind of
it was.
Up.
I didn't have, last year I had the LT jersey on.
Uh-huh.
Well, Daniel and Tomlinson of the San Diego Chargers.
But your sensing powers are just off.
Batman in his, you know, Batman in his costume and you know, and Superman in his cape. It just gives you that sense of security. And I just couldn't cut through people. I was just like, man, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. But we got in. Luckily you're in line, so we didn't have to wait too long. But
guys had to wait a while to park, to pay for parking, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Parking was rough every day. But Thursday,
I took Thursday off.
Yeah, Thursday we went in there. I checked out the Dharma booth. Thursday is when we made the Dharma booth video. It was crazy because it was just a swarm
there
of people.
There are.
But if you look at the video, there was just a swarm of people around the booth. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to get a ticket to this. And John was relatively close. So was Jana. Cliff was kind of close. So then once it started, it was just a madhouse of people trying to get these things. And you can kind of see it in the video. It was just like people were trying to get in to show their passes. They get written down. And so somehow I managed to kind of squeeze my way in to get it. But unfortunately, mine was at 5 o'clock, and I had to go eat dinner with my grandma. We already had plans set up. That's also kind of tough part is that we have family that we have there, and it's like hard to kind of schedule in times to hang out with the family.
It was great for me because it saved me lots of money. I stayed at the Hotel Mob.
So I couldn't make it, and then I asked John if he could cover it because I still wanted to get some video footage. John Norton from NetroBuzz. So that's what you saw on for Thursday. Friday was supposed to be my Ghostbusters panel and the EW panel, but the Ghostbusters panel was canceled.
And, you know, the worst part is some jerk kept reminding you of the fact that it was canceled.
But we went to the EW panel. I was kind of glad, though. The EW panel was a lot better than I thought it was.
And we met a lot of listeners there. People were coming up and saying, hey, they appreciate our work and stuff like that. That was pretty cool.
And there was a lot of good questions. Like I said, I thought the questions during the EW panel were a bit meatier than the ones on the Saturday Lost panel.
Well, you know, it's funny. We sat through a Spider-Man cartoon, which I had never seen before, and I go, Wow, that was pretty cool. I think I would watch that.
I just like the song Spectacular, Spectacular.
Yeah, it got in my head. It was
Spider-Man.
I think it almost topped Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
It's a cooler song than Spider-Man.
No one can. But all the, well, it's funny, we were sitting around all the writers and stuff because they were all raising their hand. We're like going, that's what we started raising.
It's a good thing we said, the show sucks now.
Yeah, we started, I started raising my hand when people say, hey, I said, yeah, I'm here. I wrote the.
Signing autographs in the lobby.
Yeah.
So the EW panel was great. It had Damon Lindelof, Carlton Cuse, of course.
Yep.
It also had, is it Brian Fuller from Pushing Daisies?
Pushing Daisies, yes.
And then the two Joshes from Chuck.
Chuck.
And Terminator.
Terminator. And it was
Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Well, I think what was funny was because most people in there were asking questions for Lost.
Yeah.
And then one of the Joshes, Josh from Chuck and Gossip Girl, said, I have a question for Lost. It's just fun. They are all funny and entertaining. The guy from Terminator was hilarious.
Yeah.
And you can see where they were kind of...
Jeff Jensen from EW, who does, or Doc Jack, I think it's Doc Jeff, who does a lot of articles on Lost on EW.
Right. So it was entertaining. It wasn't overly crowded.
No.
Which was nice. We walked in, I think we got there about an hour and a half early, but we sat through...
we kind of sat in the back, and then once that cleared out, we got a little bit closer.
Right. Well, Ryan and Jen...
Yeah, they got actually seats closer.
Who we met, and they are two of the nicest people...
Oh, I know.
I mean,
that was really cool meeting Ryan and Jen.
I mean, it was really cool, and it's funny you hear him on, and we've talked to him a few times on, you know, on and off. And
oh yeah, and I've talked to Ryan for years now.
Yeah, and you
good
think,
friend.
Like, well, they'd probably be nice. They're genuine. They're just two of the nicest people. And like my wife said when she was watching the video of the panel,
uh-huh.
They're on the panel with us. If you'll hear,
they were our special guests.
Special guests, and also Ralph and Ben, and John Norton moderated it. Was the moderator. She goes, look how Ryan's looking at his wife. You can tell he loves her. You look at me that way? I go, I get, no. So
Ryan got you in trouble.
Ryan got me in trouble, but I do, you know, I look, you know, some, well, yeah, I look, but. So anyway, but they haven't been married as long. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but they're years or something like that.
Yeah, but seriously, they're just very.
Yes,
nice,
very nice.
They're
people.
Just nice. I mean,
I forgot to say Wednesday picked up Seattle. Well, Wednesday was kind of funny because we had like picking up everybody. We picked up John and Cliff from the airport. They kind of came relatively at the same time. Then Seattle Jimmy,
I thought was going to get a chance to meet, and he was only there on Thursday, right?
Well, he only got a Thursday pass, and he was only there till like Saturday.
Yeah, so I never met him.
But yeah, so met him. Well, he got in like 5 hours earlier, and he just walked around San Diego. He was walking around downtown talking to people.
Really?
Yeah. So we drove up to downtown, Old Town, and picked him up. And then we went to try.
So
he
walked from the airport to.
He got a cab to the hotel. Left his bags there.
Okay.
And then walked because Old Town was relatively close to.
Yeah, I didn't go to Old Town this year.
But yeah, so then we met Seattle Jimmy from the Darmalars, his excellent Darmalars segments, musical segments, and then we met up with Ryan and Jen to go to In-N-Out Burger.
Were you there when I told my mom when we were talking about Old Town? I said when you were there, it was called New Town.
Yes.
Okay.
That's pretty funny. So then Thursday was fun. Friday EW was fun, even though I lost missed my last panel. I mean, I'm sorry, Ghostbusters panel. But then we went to the Kevin Smith panel later on that night, which was hilarious.
I left to go see family.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. Judd Apatow was in the first one, and the director of 300 and the new Watchmen movie, and Frank Miller. And the second one, it was just Kevin Smith's panel, and he was promoting his new. Can't remember something. Make a Porno, his new movie. It looks really funny. So that was fun. And Saturday was the big day.
Yes, the big morning.
Yeah, we got.
Well, it's funny. We originally said we were going to get in line at 6.
Yeah.
But after it was such a hassle to get in the front,
mm-hmm.
and how crowded, because on Wednesday it was just a zoo.
Yeah.
And you said how bad it Thursday. And
well, Thursday people were lining up the night before for Twilight, and I was
right.
Like, oh my god.
And then Friday we said, well, you know what? We better get in line about 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
So we. Started passing the word along, hey, we're going to get in line at 4 a.m. We told Ryan, Jen, don't worry, we'll save you a spot. So, yeah, we were there at 4.
Yeah, the whole crew of us. I think it was me, you, Colleen and John, Cliff, Jana, and Ralph. We all headed down.
Yeah.
And then Illyrio from Canada.
From Canada.
Was there in line as well, and we all kind of met up. And we even though we were there at 4, there was people in front of us, we weren't really that far back.
No.
Which is good enough. I was like, I'm not going to spend the night over. That's kind of my limit. So 4
there
is
was,
like...
There were a couple of guys, I guess they're at 4 p.m. in sleeping bags. They were there the night, sleeping the night over.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, that's just crazy.
And then, so we had to sit through that for us. But it was, you know, I kind of like that. It's because kind of like, you know, we're hanging out and having fun. It's kind of like tailgating a
little
bit.
A lot of people came up to us, and it was, yeah, it was fun. We were meeting a lot of people.
Yeah,
was,
the ODI crew came up.
Yeah, they gave us free shirts.
Yes, and
which is always cool.
We also met the host from 10th Wonder.
Right.
Heroes Podcast. They were very nice. It was great to actually finally meet Graham. And a lot of other people, and our usual suspects of
and yeah,
our crew.
We were talking to, well, Sydney was there also.
Yeah,
we were talking to her and talking to everybody, and it just was a lot of fun. And then
yeah,
we're sitting, you're sitting there, and you're talking to Ryan and Jen.
Yeah,
and then you're talking to two other guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, they come up.
They came up. I think I was stuck talking to Cliff at that point. I kid. I like talking. I was talking to a bunch of people. So I think
yeah,
Chris in Boston or someone like that.
Yeah, Chris in Boston was there as well.
So I was talking to them, and then you said, "Jack, come here."
So we're sitting there talking. All of a sudden, the two guys come up and they say, "Oh, big fans of the show. Love your show." And I said, I don't know if it was this time. I was like, "We didn't expect you guys to be in line because you have your own panel. You should have like instant access." And it's like,
"Well, they said, yeah." Well, I guess they said that, you know, they wondered if Jay and Jack were here. And
yeah.
They go, well, no, they're not. They wouldn't have to wait in line like this. They probably have their own special pass. Damon Carlton, we don't. Not that we're asking, because you know we don't want to be.
Yeah.
But it would be cool if we did. Because I'm still a little bummed, you know, because I thought Matthew Fox and I had a little connection, a little something.
Did your eyes meet?
Yeah, there was no call. No nothing. No little, hey, thanks for being a fan, you know.
So it was like a one-panel stand?
Yeah. You know, you think there'd be a little call, say, hey, Jim,
yeah,
I'm going to be in town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Because he knows you want to get him drunk now.
Just to find out the answers to loss.
I'm starting to worry if it's just to find answers to loss. I'm starting to worry now.
It's just the answers to loss. But my wife did ask, she goes, is he as hot as he is in on TV? And I go, I can't. Yeah.
Oh man, your man crush is starting to scare me a little bit.
I'm cool enough with my masculinity that uh-huh, I can say he's a good looking guy. Would you say he's a good looking guy?
I'd say he's a good looking guy.
All right. Gotta be honest.
All right.
Seems pretty. He seems like he'd be a cool guy to hang out with.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Fair enough.
And I'm sure that woman that was in the aisle would agree with me.
So yeah, and then I think next year we're gonna bring some croquet because there's all that grass there.
Yeah, you did. That was a good suggestion on that one.
That'd have been fun, or lawn darts or something.
Yeah,
lawn darts might be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we just killed a hero's listener. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
We did try and start like a West Side Story fight between the heroes and Lost.
Yeah, but there weren't enough guys from Heroes. So you want to? You want to finish the story?
Oh, okay. So yeah, so we're sitting there, and then these two guys come up, and one looked kind of funny. I was like, I know him, but I don't know. But then he gave Ryan the his card, and I saw it, and it said Ed Hockley, and then it had the NFL logo on. I was like, wait a second, it's Ed Hercules.
Yeah.
The NFL ref.
And I know we've talked about him before because he's the guy we always get excited. He's doing a charge game. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the buff ref. Cool.
Yeah.
Because we like his game. So then you call me over.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's funny because we always thought it was like, where's Ed Hercules?
And so it's great that we said nice things about him.
Yes.
Because he truly is.
So then I realize who he is, and I'm like, oh my god, it's Ed Hockley. So then I go over and I get Jack, and then he comes over and
he goes, do you recognize him? I go, he's looking at me. I go, god, did I go to school with him? He really did look familiar. And then you said Ed. I go, Ed Hockley. Oh my god. So we're on cloud nine, and him and his brother Dan were just two of the coolest guys. And I'm a
big Loss fans.
Big, huge. I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. Now, when you look at,
knowing that Ed could probably beat you up,
he could squash my head like a grape. I mean, I'm just saying that. He could. He's, if you came, when he came to our panel, and he's a buff guy.
He is.
You can tell he's like me. He's a gym rat. He's in there working out nonstop. But I'm going to say this. When you look at Jay,
uh-huh,
you think geek right away. I mean, you can't help but look at Jay and think, that's a geek. Now, you look at, people probably look at me thinking, oh, there's a cool, good-looking guy with a great head of hair. They're probably shocked.
You're getting these backwards.
They're probably shocked that I am a geek.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a geek.
Okay.
But him and his brother, they're geeks. And I say that as nicest way possible because, like, again, he could squash my head.
Uh-huh.
Like a great, but they sent us some photos. Dan sent him some photos of
they had a lost party. Yeah.
And his brother, Dan, came as Locke. And
he looked
I'd like to put it on the message board.
Uh-huh.
You'd have to do it because I don't know how to do it.
Well, you know, I think if we'll ask him permission if we can put it on the show. I'll put it on the AAC feed next time we do a show because they did a really good job.
Yeah, and
with
his Ed came as Jacob.
As Jacob, he had the rocking chair
and everything. So, but anyone who's watched NFL football, you might not know his name, but you know, you say the buff ref.
Yeah,
and everyone knows. And to see, look at him and think, that guy's a geek, like Jay, and of course, like me. So it was just a lot of fun. And then people are like going, is that who I think it is?
Yeah.
And we're like going, yeah, that's Ed Hockley. I'm like, yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And so then we went inside the panel, had to sit through the Heroes pilot.
Now, yeah. A lot of people didn't like but you know, it's funny. There wasn't that energy. I don't think a lot of people there for Heroes.
No.
I think some, I said there was
people there for Heroes.
I didn't care.
And they cheered.
Yeah.
But it was more just like, I don't like Jeff Loeb. He's just, I'm sorry.
Well, I agree with what Bitter Daryl was saying. I don't know if it was first call or the second call.
I think that's his R-rated call.
Okay. I agree. He was rather obnoxious.
Yes.
I mean, he kind of admitted that last season sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that on this podcast?
I think so.
Okay. He admitted that the second season wasn't up to par with the first season.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like we're a few Patriot fans here, and I kind of described Heroes as the last season for the Patriots. Season was perfect all the way up until the end.
Yeah.
You know, like the Patriots last season. Your season was all the way to the end, then you just didn't quite deliver that season finale of season one for Heroes. It was just brutal.
It was pretty terrible.
It was like, are you kidding me? That's what this is.
I think it was Desiree from Pensacola 4. Was like, oh, it was good. I was like, no, I'm sorry.
No. It was, we met Desiree from Pensacola.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is just not. I'm sorry, someone's screaming in the house. This is just not working. But, you know, they showed the upcoming episode, the pilot for season three. It was all right. I mean, it just
seemed kind of cheesy at some point.
It had a couple funny parts. I won't go into what it was. It's good. But it's nowhere near Lost. It will never go down as a great show.
No.
People from 10 years from now will not go, oh, that Heroes, that was the best show on television.
Yeah, exactly.
People like, I know Jay and I will say 10 years from now, yeah, Lost was probably one of the best shows on television.
I mean, I agree.
There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
And the panels, they had their whole cast there.
Yeah.
And they kind of took a shot at Lost when they said, oh, we bring our whole...
You know, some people only bring the producers. And maybe one actor.
Yeah, but... Damon,
this is about Jeff Loeb. He always likes to bash Lost at any chance.
Yeah, he does. And I think if you watch the two panels, number one, they showed the preview. They showed the preview.
The pilot, the whole episode.
The
whole episode.
They had maybe 5 or 6 minutes for questioning.
Yeah.
They had the whole cast there. Now, be honest with you, I would have had like the one kid that said Solar. He didn't say Siler. He said Solar. Silo. Silo, yes.
I think it's like J-Lo, so it's like Silo.
Yeah, so it was fun. They had a few people asking why I didn't go up there. I'm glad I didn't ask a question because that guy would have torn me apart.
Yeah, Jeff Loeb was just kind of being a jerk.
There were a couple of people asking questions. There was one guy up there. I don't know why these people wait in line to ask to get so negative.
Yeah.
Why do you wait? I have no idea what he was going to ask. He was going to ask something to the Heroes. But he was like, remember he started out with, I have a complaint. You know, I've been in line. And he just brushed him off.
Yeah,
I agreed with that one.
Uh-huh.
You get 6,500 people. Nobody wants to hear you whining about something that nobody cares about. But there was a couple of people asked questions, and he shot them down.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, okay, next. We don't have time. No, we don't have time. We don't have time. And so, but the Lost panel. Well, you want to go to that?
Oh, so then that ended. But it was funny. Me and Ralph were saying because it was getting close to where. You know, I was like, the flip, so I was like, they're going to have like 15 minutes of talking. They better not, you know, overlap into Lost, so we're going to start a riot.
Yeah, it was like, because last year we lost out on some time.
Yeah.
Our Lost panel, we lost...
Like 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes.
I think it might have been longer than that.
Yeah. So me and Ralph are ready to like start a riot.
Ralph cracked me up. He's over there. I was calling him the stalker.
Uh-huh.
But he was over there reading his... he had some headphones on and had a book.
Yeah.
During the Lost.
So then we had the last panel. Sydney was going to ask a question. She had her Save a Log Carrying Guy t-shirt.
Which you can buy at Salmonate.com.
Yeah, shopsalmonate.com.
And a portion will go to Autism Speaks.
Autism Speaks. My Aunt Cindy, Uncle Brent, and Aunt Mary came. And that was an ordeal because they came in a little bit later and it was tough, like, you know, try and save a couple of seats for them to come in.
Well, there's one guy. Chris in Boston went up to use the restroom.
Yeah.
We're saving his seat, and this guy comes at the last minute and tries to sit down. And I thought you guys knew him.
No.
And then they turn around, because you saw it a lot. People were coming at the last second going,
yeah.
You know, anyone who's waited, been there earlier before us, because there were people before us,
uh-huh.
If you've waited that long, you should have the right to save the seat. If you're going to the restroom, that seat should be saved.
Yeah, exactly.
So this guy goes, sits down, and finally, I guess you guys convinced him.
Well, no, just like, that's someone's seat.
Yeah.
You need to get out of here.
No. His friend didn't sit down.
No.
He goes, well, I've been here since 4, too. And I go, well, if you've been here since 4...
Yeah, you would have no problem getting a seat.
You'd have been sitting here with us.
Yeah, exactly. So Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. The seat thing was kind of crazy, but then they came in. Then my Aunt Cindy, she actually made little banners, Save Log Cabin Guy banners.
Yes.
So we gave one to Sydney, and she asked her a question. We got a nice little plug in there for Save Log Cabin Guy. It's for the cause.
For the cause. And she had a great question.
Yeah.
And she got a ask. Went to Comic Con and asked her Richard Albert.
No, so I went to Comic Con and asked her. And all I got was his T-shirt or something like that. It was
asked a question about Richard Albert, and all I got was his T-shirt.
Yeah.
It was funny.
But I guess what she was saying was that they kind of organized the questions based, like they kind of filtered the questions. So they kind of filtered those questions based on the prizes they were giving away. They're giving away prizes. And that's how Stuart got the ranch, and because he...
Well, they must have known Stuart was coming.
Yeah, well, he's asked a question the past couple of years.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun. The prize was a lot of fun. But the only kind of complaint I had is the questions were a little... I don't know, they've kind of been asked before. They weren't like that in-depth on
this
season.
There were a couple that were like, and you could hear the groans in the audience. I like we said on our podcast, be careful what you ask, because if you ask a question that people aren't, that's been answered 1,000 times.
Well, like one was, one I was just like, come on, it was, is the show really going to end in 2 seasons? I heard it on my news the other day.
Yeah, and I'm like going, you got to be kidding me.
And, you know, I understand if they're just general fans. I totally get that. You know, you're
not
going to know all
the
details. The
problem is you're with geeks like us.
Yeah, it's going to know those kind of things.
But I didn't boo them or anything like that.
No,
but some people are like going,
and then there's another one that's like, will Jack and Kate end up getting together? Like, that one's been asked a bunch of times, and we've heard it ourselves in different interviews and stuff. I mean, I think it may have been in past Comic Cons.
Right.
So that was a little frustrating. Some of the questions weren't that in depth.
But I think a problem you're going to have is they're not going to answer anything anyway.
They could answer certain, like, you know, the Richard Alpert. Like, that was a good question. Drawn in blank. Danielle, that was a good question.
Yes.
I'm saying, and then they describe how...
Will we get Danielle's backstory? They didn't say we'll get her backstory. They said we'll get her story.
Well, exactly. It's not going to be a flashback. So, see, when you ask questions like those, you get little details like that. So that was a little frustrating, but it was still a fun panel, nonetheless.
It's entertaining. I love Damon and Carlton. They're hilarious and funny and...
Yeah,
they put on a good show.
They keep
it hopping the whole time. It's like they come there and
yeah. So then we had our panel at 4, which was a lot of fun. A lot of people showed up. Hopefully next year we can get a bigger room and hopefully we can convince them, because I tried to convince them this year we needed a bigger room.
Well, we thought we'd get a room. We showed them what we had last year and they said no, you can't have a room. And we're like, well, we filled it up last time.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't so much they were trying to get us a room, but then it just didn't work out.
Right.
They said, well, we can give you the same one we had last year.
They said you could do it as long as Jay doesn't show up.
But we were packed. There was like a good 50 or so people just kind of stacked in the back that didn't have seats. So hopefully next year we'll get a little bit of a bigger room to kind of fit the people and actually have a mic for people to ask questions. But actually as a prize for, well, not really a prize, but for today, we're going to put the audio from our panel after this.
I don't know if it's a prize.
Yeah, but just an added bonus. And then the video, I'm actually working on the video now, but I decided to put the audio up now for those that maybe want to listen instead of looking at a video while they're mowing the lawn or
something. There'll be some static.
Yeah, the audio got messed up a little bit on the camera because somebody, Cliff, we had this nice expensive camera and the batteries died.
Yeah, he had a little tiny camera. But Cliff did a great job. No complaining about
Cliffy
hybrid.
Fried.
I mean, Cliff. I keep forgetting. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, our panel was a lot of fun.
We convinced Ryan and Jen to come up.
Yeah,
Ralph and Ben from Gondolars.
It wasn't Matthew Fox. We had our special guest, Ryan.
Yes,
and Jen
it was. Yeah, they're all right.
And I think they're better than Matthew Fox. But I know you probably would have rather had Matthew Fox.
I'd have been drooling the whole time. No, I'm just kidding.
You were able to concentrate on the panel?
I couldn't concentrate. But, it's funny. I wasn't nervous this time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, okay, what to answer. And I think no one got my homer.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
You don't understand homer. Homer is a baseball term for someone. You'll listen on the question. I said homer. Let me explain it now. Homer is someone who, like, say I'm a Padre fan.
Okay.
Yeah, they're horrible this year. But I'm not going to say anything negative about my team. They're homers.
I think crony works better.
No, on my message board, it's homer. That's what people use. You're such a homer. You root for your team no matter what. Like a lot of Cub fans are considered homers. That's the greatest team in the world. They won't knock the team saying, we need to get this, need to get that, need to get this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that's what we've been accused of, that we never knock loss. Even though
we do.
I think we do, but a lot of people are upset.
Yeah.
I think people think that we're cheerleaders for loss, but we're not.
No.
We enjoy the show. We like the show. And that was one of the questions that was asked. And I think that, like I said, I've said it 1,000 times, said it in the thing. If I ever got to the point where loss was horrible, I wouldn't waste my time doing it.
Yeah.
As much fun as it is to meet everybody and as much fun as we have at the Comic-Con.
But if we weren't having fun doing the podcast.
It wouldn't be worth it. It'd be a nightmare. So that's what the term homer is someone who you know, every episode they think is the greatest episode in the world.
Yeah, I think you should do a better selection of words because not everybody's, you know, a cool member of your San Diego Insider message board.
Well, it's not just a San Diego Insider message board. It's a term that it's a sports term.
Oh, okay.
All so right. I think that anyone,
I've just never heard that one before.
Because you're a geek.
So yeah, our panel was a lot of fun. We want to thank Ryan and Jen and Ralph and Ben from the Darmalars for coming up there with us. It was a lot of fun, I think. And hopefully they had a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, thanks for John for moderating.
Thanks to John for moderating.
Jana was great there.
Jana, you know, always, you know.
Amelia Earhart was just perfect.
A.K.A. Colleen McAllister.
Yeah, she's Amelia. She's now known as Amelia Earhart.
But she got back in on time.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yes.
Or did she?
Aurelio, or as did he say the not stupid Canadian?
Yeah, well, he said something else. That. He was great. I talked to him about hockey for a while. Yeah. Like I said, waiting in line was not that big a deal.
Fun,
it was
know?
Like fun. I would like a special pass.
Huh?
I would like a special pass. But
Michael, friendly communist. Chris in Boston. Steve was there. So many people, and I can't. You know, probably going to forget some people, but it was a lot.
Jim.
Of fun.
Jim took some pictures and sent them to us.
Caesar also took pictures.
Yes, Caesar was there taking pictures.
There was just, you know, I want to thank everybody. You know, all the people that hung out afterwards, took pictures. You know, it's a lot of fun, and we do this. Not only for us, because we, you know, enjoy talking, but we know we do it to be part of the community. The community is, you know,
and
a
that's,
special
that,
part of
and
it.
And that's what, going back to the Lost, when Heroes was over, maybe a handful of people left.
Yeah. Because
we thought we'd be able to move up a little close. We were pretty close, but we thought we'd be able to move up closer. I'd say maybe a handful of people left after Lost was over, because what was after the Terminator? Was it Terminator panel?
I think so, something like that.
Everybody left.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like everyone's, okay, we're done, we're leaving. And the Lost energy, there was. It would just seem, maybe because I was more into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched
it. I think it's probably, because remember, Heroes shares a lot of the Lost fans.
Right.
Lost shares a lot of the Heroes fans.
But you didn't see, you saw a lot of people with Lost shirts in line.
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of people with Heroes shirts in line. I think people were a little disappointed on last season's Heroes, how it went and stuff like that. Of course, they had the strike. But Lost is still, like we said before, it's by far the better show.
Oh, yeah. Like you said earlier, I was thinking that when I was watching it. I was like, you know what? Heroes, you know, it has its time now, but 10, 20, 30 years from now, the one that's still going to be like...
Right. It's like MASH.
One of the considered great shows
is
going to be Lost.
You look at MASH, you go, okay, is Desperate Housewives going to be... Like, 20 years from now, people are going, oh, that Desperate Housewife, that was a great show, or Grey's Anatomy. I don't think people are going to say, oh, Grey's Anatomy, it might be topped in the rankings.
Yeah.
But it's not going to have that... It's not going to have that
staying power.
Like Seinfeld. Seinfeld, people still to this day.
Because it was unique.
It's unique. They watch it. Lost is just, it's we said before, the writing, the directing, the acting, the production is top notch.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost movie caliber.
It is. Yeah. It is movie caliber. And it's just a great show. And I think people are, like I said, 30 years from now, 40 years, well, I won't be around. But people that are around then will say, yeah, Lost was like a great show.
Exactly. So then on Sunday. It was a bad day for you.
I had a bad... I'm staying at Hotel Mom's, her and her husband, Iron Figgy.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get there early.
Yes.
I'm trying to get there early, so I'm trying to... And
well, why were you trying to get there early?
I'd like to meet Damon Lindelof.
Yes.
So at the EW panel, he was actually talking to people. I think he talked to some of the ODI guys and stuff like that. And I was trying to get... I didn't realize at first he was going to stay, so I said, Jay, let's go. He goes, what are you going to say to him? I go, I don't know yet. So we're trying to get over to him. Before I could get over there... He left.
Yeah.
I said, I wonder if you'd do that at this other panel. He was hosting one on Sunday.
For It's Not Sunny in Philadelphia or something like that?
Yeah. And I said, well, if I get there early enough, so it was just I'd already knocked off, my mom has these little shelves around her house.
With knickknacks.
Little obstacle course with knickknacks on it. I don't know why they're there, but, you know. Anyway, so one day Jay said something. I thought he was talking to me. I turned around and looked and boom, this thing came off and something, I won't say who, it broke. And so then Saturday, my alarm's going off. I thought I shut it off. My phone's going off. I had my phone set.
Yeah.
I think I'm just tired from because Saturday was such a long day. It was a fun day.
Every day was very draining.
You know, so you're a little worn out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sleeping well because I kept waking up early because I think I was on East Coast time. So I'm trying to be quiet. I'm in the shower, trying to get in the shower, and she has in her bathroom this shelf, and I went to put the towel over the railing and just knocked this glass thing over. Boom, crashed, boom. I'm like, oh. And you know how you're trying to be quiet?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to wake people up.
Exactly.
So I hear them go, what was that?
Oh, no.
I'm like going, oh, my gosh. So I'm trying to get, and then getting there was just, they had the streets blocked off. So either way, I didn't meet Damon Lindelof, but.
But so then we, me and Carl, we're going to get a little bit later and meet up with you guys.
Yeah.
So we had to drop John off at the airport, which is the main reason why we were like an hour later. We're going to try and get there earlier and try and meet you up at the Sunny in Philadelphia or something.
I was so frustrated, I didn't even stay for it.
And so we take John to the airport. She has to drop me off because we can't get parking in time. So she basically just pulled to the side, and I run to try and get, you know.
You didn't. Hold on a second.
Oh, I didn't run. But
okay, thank God.
I walked briskly.
Because we've talked about, actually, that was probably the best part, was talking about your baseball skills.
That's great. So then I'm walking.
I did a quick impression of Jay playing baseball. Uh-huh. I think it was quite a hit.
Yeah. So I was walking across. The only way you can walk across the train tracks there to get to the convention center. And I guess they're making a bridge is what I hear.
Are they making a bridge?
That's what I hear.
After 2 years of me complaining about a bridge?
Uh-huh.
It only makes sense, guys.
So I'm walking across, and all of a sudden,
Who'd you hear that from?
It was a cop, I think.
No, I told the cop. I said, "Hey."
But we asked somebody. And I think it was another cop that we asked or something. Like when
because
we
remember when the crossing guard was coming down, I was on the cell. Hold on a second. I was on my cell phone, wasn't paying attention. Also, the back of the crossing guard, the little metal bar, is hitting me in my leg, and I'm trying to move. But there's so many people behind me. It's like pressing me up against the. And I think Colleen almost got clobbered.
Well, it was coming. I was like. Car, move!
And I'm trying to get back, so I had to actually physically push the people back.
Uh-huh.
It left a mark on my leg, but I'm okay. But
you're not going to sue the city of San Diego?
Well, here I am on my cell phone.
Uh-huh.
That's the ironic thing.
So so I'm walking across there, and then I notice a familiar face. I'm like, hey, that's Damon Lindelof. So he was wearing sunglasses, had a hat on, was kind of trying to be inconspicuous, but, you know, we should be able to pick him out of a crowd.
This is me being happy at this point, but go ahead. I think he's funny. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's sarcastic.
Yeah. And like
No, but not like me. I'm genuine.
So I walk and follow him just a couple steps. I'm like, hey.
So you're in Ralph mode.
Huh? Not so much. Like, I didn't follow him for like, you know, until he got to his car.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm just teasing you, Ralph.
I didn't follow him, but I was like, hey, Mr. Lindelof. And he turned around.
And why'd you call him Mr. Lindelof?
Well, it's your old rule. We used to try and get baseball autographs.
You always call them by their last name.
Yeah. So, and another rule is like never bug them with their family. So that's like another rule that I kind of institute when seeing celebrities. Because we saw Greg Gumbberg walking on the street, and he's with his family.
And I saw, I'm drawing a blank on Doogie Howser.
Neil Patrick Harris.
I saw him walk. People I didn't even know. We all kind of looked at the same time. I didn't stop. I let him
But yeah, so he was with his family. It's like, he's with his family. It's his wife and kids there. I don't really need it. I don't want to bug him.
Right.
But I stopped and I said, you know, hey, you know, I love what you do. My name's Jay, and I think you do an excellent job, and I just wanted to say hi and thanks for what you do. And he's like, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Get away from me.
And then we went our separate ways. I didn't want to hold him too long. I wanted to, you know.
So then I'm trying to get a hold of Jay because we were supposed to meet someone down
there.
Well,
then once this happened, I was like, I look, and then jumping out of the car, I forgot I left my cell phone in there when I called you. And so I didn't have my cell phone because I was going to call and brag to you that I just met Damon Lindelof.
Yeah, just throw a little salt in the wound.
Yeah. But I couldn't. So then I tried to Twitter like crazy that I don't have my cell phone. If anybody has a call or Jack's cell phone or something, let them know that I'm going to wait right here by F. And that's where I'm going to be. But somehow those Twitters didn't get to it. Some people got on, but Colleen didn't get them. So they thought I just had my phone off.
Well, Colleen calls me and goes, yeah, hold on. Jay didn't have a cell phone, but he just met Damon Lindelof. I'll meet you at F. I'm like going, and she hung up. I go, what? And I was with Jana and Cliff. And
uh-huh.
I go, I don't know. Jay just met Damon, and I went, what? What he did? What? It didn't even sink in. I'm like going, yeah, whatever. And I go, what? Man.
So then we finally met up, and then we hung out a little while longer. And said Chris in Boston left, and we said goodbye to him. We said goodbye to, I forgot to say, Ryan and Jen on Saturday, and wrapped things up. Me and Kyle went to Disneyland for our 1 year anniversary on Friday, Monday, and that's, you know, Disneyland. It's a fun day, but the funny story there is, you know, we stayed at Ralph's house because he lives like a minute from Disneyland, no joke. And so
Ralph is Disneyland.
Yes, he is. So Ralph wasn't feeling too well, so he was sleeping the morning we were leaving. And we were trying to be really quiet so he could sleep.
So you're like me.
Yes, exactly. So I had a very similar, bit worse.
I don't think, I think that when you're trying to be quiet, you just can't.
Yeah, exactly.
And things go wrong because you're tired. You were tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're tired, it just, like I said, I didn't even know, I wouldn't even have done it if I was attempting to do what I was trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was trying to attempt to do what something I didn't even think was going to, it might not even happen.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
But I got to meet Daniel Lindelof.
I think that, you know, I think what the punishment was?
What?
Here, I wanted to do it. But I kept teasing about the Ghostbusters.
You did, see? It's karma.
So it was karma.
And I didn't really care if I met him or not, and I met him.
It was coming. You were on cloud nine.
Oh, I was that. Oh, I was like shaking. I was so excited that I met him. But it wasn't like, I have to go meet him. You know, I just kind of had.
I didn't say I have to go meet him. I said, I'd like to meet him.
You'd like to, yeah.
I said, that would be cool. Maybe I can get up front and say something to him, you know, maybe throw something at him.
Yeah.
And then.
But it was, you were trying to take showers in the morning and get down to where you guys were. So Carl took her shower, then I was going to take my shower, and I decided to use the restroom before I take a shower. It's usually like, you know.
And that's always, well, at least you went, you weren't going to go and then let Colleen use the shower.
Well, exactly, yeah. So that's what I usually try and do, because then I don't interfere with anybody's noses.
You're like brutal.
Noses.
That's all I'm saying. Jay, you're brutal.
So then I used the restroom, and then I flushed.
Dun,
dun. Then I flushed the toilet, and then I start, you know, turning on the shower, getting ready, getting undressed. And
unfortunately, there are no sandbags. No sandbags.
Well, somehow, Ralph's like fleshing mechanism got stuck. So it got clogged.
Right, hold on a second. If you're squeamish, you may want to move on.
Yeah. Well, the toilet got clogged. And then all of a sudden, I didn't notice this. It just was kept, like, I was getting ready for the shower, and the water was running from the shower, so I couldn't hear, like, the toilet was still running. And I looked down, and all of a sudden, the water is just overflowing the toilet. And they have a tiny, like, it's weird how their bathroom's set up, like, the sink and everything's separated from the bathroom and the shower. It's like two different rooms, kind of. So it's a relatively small space where the toilet is. And so it was just overflowing. The water was overflowing. And then my clothes were on the floor, and my towel was on the floor. So I was standing there butt naked. My clothes were on the floor.
Which is just not a sight I think anybody, anybody should have to see.
My clothes got soaking wet with toilet water and towel. It got all over his rug. And so I had to go in there and stop it.
And you gave him my $15.
Yeah. And so so basically I had a tough morning, and I ruined Ralph's bathroom.
Now, I think that was karma coming back to bite you, because you were making fun of me because I didn't get to meet Damon Lindelof.
I didn't rub it in too much, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You said, oh, I just had to wait outside for Damon Lindelof.
I just had to walk up. Yeah.
No, you. I think it came back to bite you a little bit because you.
I didn't brag that much.
Oh, yeah, you did. You had a banner made. You had a banner made.
A big T-shirt.
Yeah.
I met Damon Lindelof, and the back said, and you didn't.
Well, like, Sydney has pictures with Carlton Cuse.
Carlton Cuse, yeah.
I'm like, where are these people? But I'm not jealous.
Uh-huh.
I don't. Right. I'm not a jealous type.
Okay.
So I go, okay. Yeah, I would always say, it's luck, like when you have to meet Michael Emerson. Hey, it's luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Don't turn it down. Got to go.
Exactly. So that was really cool, meeting Damon Lindelof, and the whole experience was a lot of fun, exhausting.
Actually, hanging out with everybody was
fun. That was great.
Ed and Dan, they were funny. They were
It was great. It was an honor to meet
I can't remember which one it was after the panel came up. It might have been Dan, his brother, came up and said, yeah, the Padres, their Chargers traded LT. He said, right, I don't see the riot in the streets. I don't think so. I don't see that happening. Not fooling me.
It was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Tuesday was, because there was an earthquake in California.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody's calling, oh my God. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it at all.
Yeah, I didn't feel it either.
And it's funny, my wife called, said, I guess Russ was worried, there was like, well, you better call and make sure they're all right. And she, you know, if she would say, well, he would call if there was a problem.
Yeah.
She goes, she calls up, we're, I think, at Chili's with my dad. And she goes, I'm calling to see if you feel that earthquake. All right. I'm glad you called. The house is on top of me. I had no way of getting any hold of anyone. Thank you. Kind of a sarcastic way of saying, you know.
You sarcastic? No.
I didn't feel the earthquake. I said, I didn't even feel it. It was all in the news, though, and stuff like that. And I go, people don't understand. San Diego's a big place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, it's also the way the fault runs
and how the rocks are.
Because, you know, you'd be here and not feeling over there. You could feel it.
And that's what people always, I know when we're doing this East Coast, West Coast thing, people, earthquakes. I've maybe felt 6 in my whole life. Now, a couple have been pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
But most of them, you go, oh, earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think.
It depends on where you're at. If you're in a big building, like we used to live in this condo, it was kind of rickety.
Yeah.
And that one kind of scared
that, me. Well, that one, yeah, I remember that was the Northridge earthquakes.
So that was like, and you guys were all young. I'm grabbing you and your young daughter. We're standing in the doorway. I remember everyone in the doorway. And they said, and the news came on, they were doing a news report, and they said, it's a myth that the safest place is in the doorway. I go, oh, great. Thanks for telling me now.
After the fact.
Right.
We survived the earthquake, but an eventful week, a fun week, exhausting week, and Can't wait to get those videos out there for you guys.
I can't say enough how everyone there made us feel so special.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
How it was so much fun meeting everyone.
It really was. I mean, I think that's my favorite part about Comic-Con is meeting you, the listeners, and getting to interact with you face-to-face.
Right. And people were apologizing they couldn't meet our panel because they wanted to do other things. And
yeah.
I said, hey, I understand.
That's exactly.
No problem. I understand that because there were things I wanted to do that couldn't get to because there was the office panel.
We couldn't go there because of the last panel.
But, you know, we understand.
Oh, exactly. And but it's so cool because, you know, doing the podcast here in our studio – we don't get to see you guys, but when we go to Comic-Con and those kind of events and we get to meet you face-to-face, it finally gives, you know, faces to those voices of the calls or faces to the emails that we get or just the listeners in general. It's a lot of fun.
And then we could start thinking, okay, now we got to be – because we are finding that famous people are listening to us that we might be able to hunt us down. So we're like, maybe we better watch what we say about them. So.
Well, yeah, last year we had Patrick Liberto.
From JAG and Little House on the Prairie and Summer School.
Yeah. And this year we had Ed Hockley.
Yeah.
So next year, Brad Pitt, I think.
Brad Pitt, scheduled to come. I think that, well, then people think, oh, there's my twin.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
No,
so
that won't work.
They'll mistake Brad Pitt for Jack.
Right. I got that a lot anyway.
Uh-huh.
Well, what about the lady after our panel? Uh-huh. And after we took some pictures with people and we're talking to people, this lady comes up and goes, you look like I should know you and I don't. And she goes, are you guys famous? We're like, no. And she goes, are you on TV? We go, no. Movies, maybe? I said, well, maybe in the post office. You might have seen her picture there. She goes, no, that's not it. Remember that lady?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I was like, well, maybe seen. We've done articles, you know, Associated Press, something online, maybe.
No, that's not it. And we're like going.
Use iTunes or
iTunes,
something.
Jay and Jack. She goes, nope, not ringing
I think
a bell.
She just saw us like taking pictures with a bunch of people, so she thought we were supposed to be important or something.
And we're not.
Well, you're not, but no.
But again, I it was fun. I had a great time and can't wait for next year, to be honest with you.
Exactly. So that is our Comic-Con story.
Oh, we didn't tell them about the are we going to talk about the video at all?
What video?
The Dharma, the video they showed with Dr. Marvin Candle.
Oh, we talk about that in our panel. That's why I wanted to put our panel in there.
All right.
Because we had a pretty good discussion on everything that happened.
That's true. I forgot about that.
So that is our Comic-Con story. Now we are going to...
And funny, this was going to be a 20-minute lead-in. We were going to do 20 minutes of talk before we let into it. And
good
it's
job.
Almost 50 minutes.
Good job.
It's not my fault.
So we are now going to go...
If you wouldn't have bragged about meeting Damon Lindelof, I think it would have been a 5-minute podcast.
Now we are going to get into...
Karma's going to come back to bite you in the backside.
The Jay and Jack Lost Panel with our good friends Ryan and Jen from The Transmission and the Dharma Lames.
Right. Ralph and Ben.
We talked
and
about
our moderator, John
Norton. From the Metro Buzz.
And Cliff on video. Cliff has a funny scene in there, but you won't be able to see it.
Yeah, it's part of you'll have to wait to the video.
Yeah, well, that's a little teaser. Woo!
All right, so here we go. The Jay and Jack Lost Panel Audio Edition.
There are.
Here we go.
Good job, bro.
I'm glad they did the question.
I got 3 hugs, but I got 2 face hugs. I don't know how much.
Are you on your way?
Yeah. It was a show.
That's how you take a seat.
Refresh your iTunes if you want to hear a very terrible Dharma Lars podcast.
Oh.
What? No, it's okay.
That's not nice. It was a sound bad.
So, can everybody hear us out there?
Yeah.
We don't really have a crew or anything, so whatever works, works. So I'm going to hear it for Jay and Jack. We've got some very special guests up here with us today. We have Brian and Jen from The Transmission. And our very, very, very good old friends, the Dharma Lars. Save the internet one F-bomb at a time. So I'm not going to be the moderator. I'm actually going to have Ralph be the moderator. Or do you want to be down there?
Or does someone else want to do it?
It's all right, you can stand
down there.
You can stay down there. I'll stay here.
He can borrow you from a seated position. Do you have any?
John, get up here. Come on.
Nora!
Please welcome to the Nora! Our moderator. All right. So, what we do is you can ask us questions about podcasting or Lost. Maybe talk about what we saw on the Lost panel today or what we think about the past season, what we think is going to happen in season 5. And have ourselves a nice Lost discussion or podcast discussion.
Ask who's in the coffin. I can answer that one.
Is he really? He's lying. All right,
it was
right.
Michael.
All right, John, take it away.
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, John.
All right, so welcome, everyone. We're now a Lost Podcasting Mini Network podcast panel, so that's pretty cool.
LPN represent.
So, I mean, do you guys, like, individually just want to go through kind of an opening statement for your show and what you guys are... What do you guys think of the panel? This is the Lost panel somewhere. I want to start there.
Ralph, go first.
I thought it was excellent. It's a lot of fun. Way better than the Heroes panel.
How many Heroes fans here?
Thank you, Captain.
How many people here had to sit through the Heroes panel?
I never really struggled that much with Heroes. I mean, it took a couple episodes for me to get into it, but I never saw it as a hardship. But I can definitely see how sitting through that particular episode would be really weird if you weren't into the show. That was slow.
Yeah, that episode of the show is kind of...
But anyway, it's Lost. Brian, Jeff?
Well, I really love the energy of the show. I thought the fans were really loud and energetic, and it was fun being in the room with everybody, and I really like that Matthew Fox showed up.
Yeah, that was awesome.
This is your guys' first time here.
Yes.
Talk about it, yeah. All the way from Hawaii.
All the way from Hawaii.
Paradise. Island Paradise.
Wow, applause for getting on a plane. That's great. But yeah, definitely our first trip since we had kids 10 years ago, first trip to California, first trip here, and to a Comic-Con. So it's been sensory overload. If I bumped into any of you, and I'm sure I have, and just sort of looked like a dazed creature, that's probably why. I just can't believe that I'm here. But it was great. You know?
All right.
I'm just glad I got to meet Ryan and Jen finally.
Yeah.
that was really cool. But yeah, it's been great so far, Jack. What do you think?
I enjoy because I like Damon and Carlton. I think they're funny. The energy, like.
Okay, he's saying Damon and Carlton, but when Matthew Fox came up, then he was like,
it wasn't the woman screaming, it was me. I guess.
I'm good tonight.
When Jack's personal, he can cross up that as
well. Yeah.
Well, he was downstairs, I hear, and we missed him. Is he signing autographs or something?
Yeah, for some stuff.
Maybe he was recruiting for Dharma. He's trying to tie it on that beat.
Alright, so I guess we'll go through some questions in the audience.
Right there, Watchmen shirt.
Alright. I'd like to hear your assessment of the Marvin Candle video that they showed.
Alright, okay. I'll go first. I thought it was really cool. The whole that it's... He filmed it knowing that what was going to happen in 30 years since he was back before the Purge.
Something called Easter.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. So then it makes you wonder what kind of experiments they were doing down in the Orchid. Right? I forgot the name.
Who was behind the camera?
Oh. Faraday!
Faraday! Yeah, I was thinking Faraday.
Yeah. That sounded like him.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting, and I hope maybe that'll be part of Season 5, because the Orchid video we got last year obviously played a big part in Season 4, so... maybe we'll get some more information on that in Season 5, but Ralph...
The final episode of Season 5.
Yeah. Ralph and Ben, what do you guys think?
I liked it a lot. I talked to John during our show. It's already online. Fresh grad. We heard something about maybe a possible second island.
Yeah, we weren't sure if you mentioned like he was on a second island. Did anyone certainly?
No, a lot of us, I don't think, got into the Lost panel, so maybe you guys could sum up what happened.
A recap?
Spoiler alert. Hey.
All right, so last recap time. Jeff, let me see. It was me. basically like a short video, right? Kind of like it was framed.
It was framed with they did the Dharma Initiative, and one of the plans from the audience, at least we assumed it was a plan.
Yeah, plan.
Had gone to back to the booth to be shown this video, and he bootlegged a copy of it to show us at Comic-Con. That's at least the scenario.
Yeah, and they were showing it on the screen in the Dharma Initiative booth. Has everybody here seen the Dharma Initiative booth downstairs? I think most of us have seen it. But people taking the test in there, and there's a big TV in there, and they ask you questions. And they showed this video for Marvin Campbell in the little booth there. Ryan and Jen, do you want to describe what happened in that video?
Well, it basically was a message from...
In 8 minutes or less.
Gotcha. Basically, a message from Marvin Campbell from the past, speaking to us in the future, but he starts off saying, "Hello, I'm Marvin Campbell," and then he says, "Oh, forget it, you all know this is, you know, I'm done playing games, you all know my real name is
Peter Chang.
And this is not, you know, I'm a
from Ann Arbor,
Michigan professor," and he basically said that things had gone, that he knew, because he had awareness of the future. "Your president is George W. Bush, you exchange information on this thing called internet." And,
there's no the. They had come up with the.
What was that?
And then he grabbed his arm.
Yeah, he grabbed his arm and kind of shot down to his arm real quick. His arm was good.
It seemed like he was beaming that video from the past.
Yes.
You mentioned something about
a pinhole transmission.
And something about... there is sort of the... We're having trouble keeping it stabilized or whatever and getting the signal in. And then he basically talks about reinitiating or restarting the Dharma Initiative. That has to happen.
And I guess that's what the whole new Dharma Initiative, the whole Octagon Global Recruiting is all about.
And he's aware that the purge is about to happen. He says, "We know that we will all be murdered." And he's trying to stop it, but...
He's very scared.
He's afraid. Yeah. Yeah.
And while this is going on, a baby starts crying in the
background.
Yeah. And he asks someone off camera to...
Take her out of the room.
Yeah. Colleen, I think, said that she saw a flash of someone with red hair.
Charlotte. So maybe Charlotte was that baby.
So if that didn't happen, you all know that she's wrong. Yeah.
So if it's wrong, you can blame that girl right there. That's no. But it would make a lot of sense if that baby was Charlotte, because they totally planted that in season 4 that she was on the island before. And then do you guys think this whole global Octagon recruiting, all this stuff they're doing now, they showed the Comic-Con, the Dharma Initiative, the new logos and everything, do you think that it's going to be interjected into this season coming up? Like, are we going to see like that new logo showing up in a helicopter and they land on the beach or something like that?
See it come back, not much forward.
If the freighter people are from Dharma, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I think that's how the Ophelia 6 are going to affect the They're going to join Dharma Initiative.
The newly reconstituted Dharma
Initiative. That makes sense.
So the Ophelia 6 would join the new Dharma.
Do
you think they'll be workmen or they'll get a little arrow?
But has anything from the ARG ever made its way into the show before?
I've got a question about that too, because we learned about the balance of the equation through there, but that didn't, you know, really come to light in the show that much.
Yeah, just find 815, really.
Yeah, find 815, so. I think it'd be cool if they didn't interject that into it. I think it's a good idea about that's how the Oceanics get back, is they join the newly created Dharma Initiative.
And they somehow want to be back, so I mean, they know they have technology
They have the tools. They have the technology.
Okay, next question.
I was wondering, if you had a chance to ask a question, what was your question going to be?
Nice. And he pointed to you, Jake.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I wish I knew Matt and Fox was going to be there. I probably would have asked him a question, but I really can't think of anything off the top of my head. We were going back and forth with
The one that I was going to ask, we talked about on the show and stuff like that, was if somebody from the Make-A-Wish Foundation came up to you and said, you know, I'm dying, can you tell me what's going to happen? I guess that would be a tragedy, really. And do you think Damon Crawley would have the heart to really say no?
Yes.
Hopefully you preface that by saying, I'm not dying, it's just hypothetical.
but that would probably be mine. Jack had the really funny one that Ralph stole the joke for the heroes when I heard it.
Yeah, but I...
Ask, you know, where's your mustache? And something like that.
That's great.
Right here.
There was a question about Rousseau, the fact that she's
dead now, and are we going to see her story? And they answered in a very interesting way. They said, you won't get a Rousseau flashback, but you'll get her story. And he then elaborated a bit, Damon did, where he said, we're going to be doing things a little differently. And he didn't elaborate anymore. And I'm wondering, what do you think? Do you think they're going to get rid of flashbacks and flash forwards entirely? Or are they going to introduce now a third way to tell stories?
Yeah, I think they're going to introduce a third way. I was actually talking to Ryan about this earlier. We were talking for his latest transmission episode. But I think they're going to introduce a new third way, which would be like maybe just a pure story, like that tells the backstory of the island, and then Rousseau's story would be included in that. I think that would seem the most logical. What do you guys think?
Well, I think the past.
Or,
I think that's exactly what I took from it. Is that instead of sticking to this style with this is this character, this is what happened to them, either off island or before the island, it's going to be more like. This is a TV show. This is how you tell stories in a TV show. It doesn't have to be linked to something like that. It could all be like Rousseau. It could all be like Another 48 Days, like every episode.
We saw that a little bit with the Locke episode where it wasn't like a flashback quote to show what had happened to him before.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Right, a couple of days before. Yeah.
They did say
Johnson.
Yeah.
They
did say that they weren't going to retire the whooshing noise. So. I think when you talk about, you know, they said we don't want to call them flashbacks or flash forwards. They said they had their own vocabulary for it, but I don't think they told us what they're going to call this new narrative piece. But now that we're seeing the Dharma Initiative here at Comic-Con, supposedly, you know, recruiting new members, and we saw that video being leaked in the Message to the Future, I think the third piece is present time. You know, that this is in the real time what's going on. As far as we're not looking forward, we're not looking back. So I think that could be a possibility as well.
Now you think when we get her story, do you think her story is going to be true what she told the Losties? Or is it going to be completely...
I still think she's completely nuts. I think she's remembering it inaccurately.
Oh. Interesting.
So, right. So no one thinks she's telling the truth?
Not the malicious way either. How about right over here?
A lot of my friends used to be big fans of Lost, and they've all kind of given up on the show now. So now, unfortunately, I know. I'm sticking with it, but I have nobody to talk about the show anymore. What I want to know from the panel, was there an episode along the way where you kind of almost lost faith in the show, where you thought, this is just no way.
I think
you came really close.
I think Ryan and Jen did go that close.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me your story?
We were really disappointed in the Fire and Water episode from season 2. We were having a really, really bad month where we weren't sure if we were going to keep podcasting, and that episode kind of cinched it for us.
What about?
What was that?
That was the Charlie flashback, and he's dancing in a diaper.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, this was fun, but I'm not sure, you know, this is really where we expected the show to go. We still vlogged the episode that night and everything, but as far as the way we were doing it, which was, I was up that entire night, went back to work on Friday, I said we couldn't hack it anymore.
That particular episode made you think, no, it's not worthwhile to stay up and do this all night.
Well, it was a combination of things. I mean, there was just a lot of stuff going on with personally, and it was just really tough. So, I'm always worried about Jay. You know, all the number of shows that they put out, you guys too, and I'm always worried for your mental health because
of gone.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Although we enjoy it, you know, we don't want anyone to ever feel like it's work. So.
Yeah, I think with Jay and I, we've always been kind of considered homers. To Lost, I've said a thousand times that once I stop.
What's a homer to Lost?
You know, like if you're home on your own team. But I think, I'm sorry, I'm not close enough to the mic.
No,
I think if I ever got to the point where I hated an episode or hated the show, I'd be done.
I think the wormhole episode has really kind of tested a lot of fans and kind of made them.
Which one is that specifically?
The one with.
Constant?
Yeah, the one where he goes back and forth between the.
See, the thing is with the constant, like a lot of people either find that the most amazing episode ever, or they know they went too far. So let's kind of get like a round of applause for who loved the constant.
I know for us it was a nightmare because we got tons of emails, tons of phone calls. Not that we don't like them.
But I have friends up there were huge Lost fans that said, you know, it's like I felt that was just. They were just throwing stuff around. So I guess it was very hit or miss because it was a very challenging episode to do. But what is it about it that did you not, like, if that was going too far?
No, I think what it is that I think a lot of people along the way have always thought that the concept of loss is always somewhat plausible, like it could happen in real life.
That
particular episode would say, okay, now we're in the science fiction area, so let's throw out the whole plausibility aspect of it, and a lot of people couldn't accept that.
I mean, it's still a TV show to understand, like, because they even said earlier, it's like everything can be explained by science. But, I mean, even the wormhole theories, there is wormhole theories and stuff like that, and it's possible.
Right.
It's not impossible.
There also was an island that disappeared.
Yes, which you can do that with smoke and mirrors. It's really easy.
I had a short second question. Was how did you guys feel on the day that the Emmy Award nominations were announced and that Matthew Fox was off of there and a lot of the really exceptional actors should have been nominated? Did you just?
I think the tough thing is that there's so many good actors on Lost. I mean, it's like everybody puts out a great performance. And with so many great performances, I think that maybe they can really only pick like one representative to put in there. And but at least Lost was nominated for Best Drama. And Michael Emerson was nominated in it. They got a bunch of other technical nomination stuff like that too. So they did at least get the Best Drama. Michael J. You know,
I really thought Jorge Garcia deserved something.
Yeah, he did an amazing job. And put so many layers to it.
Making you cry.
So. Yeah.
I think Stuart should get an Emmy nomination as well.
Stuart today. Let's see that red.
All right.
For those that don't know, in the Lost panel today, if you ask a question, you have to get some kind of item from Damon Carlton. And Stuart, you've asked some questions about every time we've been here, at least. And I think they must have known you were coming. They got Stuart has done like the best Furby costume the past year, all he is running. So he got his ranch reward. It was awesome. It's his new baby.
It's a quick question.
Desmond is his constant.
Yes, and so what do you make of that second? I'm confused as to whether he's jumping around right now, or is this from sometime in the past?
Yeah. Well, the panel today, they were talking about Daniel Faraday, and did anyone else want to pick this one up?
In the panel they mentioned that his Faraday's notebook has stuff that has already happened and stuff that will happen. I think it's six of one. It could be that he himself is jumping, or the fact that Desmond is jumping and so he became his constant. But also, it could just be safety. He knows he's going to go to this island. He knows how all that stuff works because he's done some experiments. So he's decided, okay, if this ever happens to me, I know you can die. I better ground myself. And since I've been seeing Desmond because of his time travel, then he can work for me. So.
And also, if Daniel Faraday was the guy filming that
Marvin Campbell. It was him.
So if he would have been privy to that future, 30 years in the future, this is what's going on information too, and he was just sitting there with his notebook as he was seeing all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of plausible things out there. But yeah, right here.
You know, near the end of season 3, we got the big news that Lost was going to get an end date. And scared at the same time, you know. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about since then. Is, and I wanted to kind of hear your opinions on what kind of tone would you see Lost ending? Would you see it as a dramatic, a happy ending where everybody gets?
It's probably going to be a cliffhanger.
Do you see them finding happiness? Do you see them being steamed?
I think I don't think I was hoping there would be happy endings, but I'm not sure there's going to be happy endings. Where with, you know, Michael and Walt, they didn't get their happy ending since Michael is officially dead. So there is no guarantees to the happy endings now.
Doug didn't get a happy ending.
Doug didn't get a lot. Same lot here, guy, by the
way. Yes. Woo! Poor Doug. Doug's story is being remembered.
But, Ryan, Jen, what do you think?
I have a feeling we're going to end where we began.
Yes.
last thing we're going to see is Jack in the middle of the forest. That's my personal thing.
What do you think,
Jack? I agree with that 100%.
What do you think, Jack? What do you think?
I don't think it'll be a happy ending.
Why are you going to be so negative?
I'm sorry, that's where I roll.
It's like you're so ball of, like, we're having fun here, and your ball of negative energy is ruining everybody's time.
I mean, it's been a long day.
I agree with Jack, look, I think for the show to be the daring show that we know it is, I'm not sure if I'd hope against it, but a neat bow with Jack and Kate and everybody happy and all of that, and reuniting, I wouldn't expect that. I'd expect something
shocking. Maybe Kate ends up with nobody.
Well, they mentioned that Adam and Eve skeletons.
Right.
Yeah.
To bring that thing to a close. So
that's what I like about it ending with Jack. Like the idea of a circle, like the idea of bookends.
Either way, a lot of people aren't going to be happy.
Well, I think it'll be a bit of both. Like, I hope I'm like sad and happy. Like some things are kind of happy, then some are sad. I think it was all like, oh, we're all happy and safe now, and oh, Boone's alive now. I guess that
would be. You don't want Charlie?
Huh?
Charlie can't come back.
Sure, Charlie can come. He's already back, walking around playing chess. Yeah. Hurley.
No, that was that.
Oh, Echo, but I'm sure Charlie played checkers. He's probably the checkers man, right?
Someone wants to ask another question again?
How about this side? This, you, sir.
My question is, I don't know if I have to listen, but I'm sure you guys know about the whole Bluetooth thing over at the Dharma booth. You guys know about
that? Yes, I heard about that.
I haven't been able to get it to work. Has anyone been able to do it and figure out what they're trying to give you?
Is it they for it? Is it like for your phone?
Yeah, you stand outside, just like
they've
been doing for other things. You have to make
it
Bluetooth. This guy that gave in the email that was sent out.
In like the code of the email,
it
says something about
it. Says activated Bluetooth. I've been doing that. Nothing's come up
for me. Someone mentioned to me that it's not activated until Monday. So.
No, I.
You have to be by the booth.
I was by the booth, and the two women, you know, who were dressed up in little Dharma things, were talking to a tech guy, and he was back there trying to fix it. I don't think they have it. They're like, it's not working. He was trying to fix it. I don't think it's not working.
Someone sent the OBI blog didn't get the video. They just filmed it off the phone at this point, but I'm sure when they can get out of the chaos of the con, there'll be a better quality version, but they've got it online already. It's basically the same video you see when you were in taking a test, but it looks like someone has interrupted it and thrown in seams in that. So basically, they're trying to screen cap that thing and figure out what those shots are in that video.
And it doesn't work on a BlackBerry or an iPhone. So
like, oh, no iPhone.
Shh. <don't work>.
Yeah, like if you could project your voice, we had a problem last year, so people couldn't hear the questions
at
the back.
Speak
into the mic.
Now, not to like change subject or anything from the phone thing, but like just to get back to the concept, I think we can all agree that it was a pretty big linchpin in season 4, for better or for worse. And do you guys have any opinions on the idea that maybe the idea of a circuitous constant is more of like a constant running theme that I think they started now, but for instance, they might come back to the Adam and Eve thing as maybe Adam and Eve were time travelers, maybe it's Sawyer and Juliet, maybe it's Jack and Kate or something, and maybe like maybe they were each other's constant and they came back to the Isles of War. Perhaps in another character, circle like the Ozzy and Harriet thing that Hurley and Charlie had going on before the end of last season. Do you think, and now that we've seen Charlie in the real world, do you think that maybe Hurley or Charlie are flipping back and forth, and what is the other's constant? And do you think that it's just like a that they started a new theme that I think that they're going to run into?
So like each character on the island will have their pair, their constant, or is that?
I think
those things they drive by, those garbage cans, are like Harleys.
That's what they sound like. Keeps you awake in the morning.
But what do you guys think? Any comments to that, Ralph?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Definitely, like I was saying, a circle or if they introduce time travel, even in the slightest of it, it could be Adam and Eve could totally be them. Think of how creepy that is. Like, Rob was just saying to me, does Jack still have the black and white stones in his pocket? Yeah. Like, did he go and get them out of his own pants and then put them in his pocket so he could find them later? I don't know. I mean, or it could just be an illuminate, like, Faraday did say that you had to have been exposed to high levels of magnetism or radiation before you passed the zone to activate it.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know.
I think it's following me.
Yeah.
It could be combine everything and someone being deposited and going back in time so that it ends with Jack in the jungle, but this time he's had to cause the plane wreck in such a way that he saves everyone from ever wrecking in the first place. So you get your big happy ending. Your spoon never dies.
So is it kind of like where Ben's turning the frozen donkey wheel?
Yeah.
He has to be sent somewhere in order to save the island.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate sacrifice that Jack would make, is to end up on that island alone.
And he's that kind of guy.
Yeah. Hero. Well, there's been a lot of attention paid to the opening scene of the pilot and the mysterious object next to Jack's head, and how it may or may not be similar to the little stick that Ben uses. And so if Jack had possession of something like that, turns his frozen donkey wheel, shows up at the bottom, in the middle of the forest, that's the same shocked expression that we see there. So I like that.
And he's originally supposed to die, so.
Yeah.
Poor Michael Keaton. hey, Cliff. I know we're paying you the big bucks, but can you like move the camera around a little bit? You've just been staying there. It's really boring. Hey, let's give a round of applause for Director Cliff. He does a lot of work.
That's a secret.
Yeah, that's a secret.
You, sir, right here.
You guys on the show, you don't really talk about the ARG stuff. Is there a reason for that, and do you ever plan to?
Go ahead.
I think we spend a lot of time doing the podcast. It's not like time consuming, but I think the podcasts are our own ARGs in a way. It's our way to kind of stick with the communities. We go on different message boards. We get the emails. It's just kind of an extra thing that's kind of tough to fit in, as for me personally. I don't know about you guys.
We pay attention to like the finance team. We kind of cover the big stuff. I remember when the Sri Lanka video came out, we did a vidcast and we included that to the vidcast. Made sure that was included. It's more like, more or less, for at least Jack and I, when there's those big ARGs, it's a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot of dedication to pick out every single little piece. And for us, we're really busy with our normal day jobs and stuff like that. We don't have as much time as we would like to be able to do those kind of things. So
I sleep once.
We try and more like get the general idea of what's going on, maybe some of the big things that are shown. And maybe like once it's all over, some of the big reveals and stuff like that. So that's why it's not so much like every episode we talk about every single little piece, is because we just really don't have the time and manpower to get into the little details. But Brian and Jenna.
Well, it's same with us. We're really into the show, and we like to consider all the things that the show itself shows us. And I consider the ARG a lot to do. I'd rather stick to what we know in the show.
For me, it's over my head. I mean, I can't even play regular reality games. To try to think of going to the website and like running a filter through it, trying to backdoor the HTML, I don't know any of that stuff. Like, I can do like be a scavenger hunt, I can handle it. It's just, it's way beyond.
The one I really wanted was Jack. Why not you?
Basically that reason right there.
Well, but you're such a fast typer.
I am. A big part of it is that I think, I mean, it's beyond us. If you're a gaming person and stuff like that, you would really thrive on it. I'm actually afraid to even touch World of Warcraft because I figure she'll never see me again. So I know some of these things are rabbit holes that you could fall down, and I'm frankly terrified.
Now, have you guys enjoyed the ARGs, like the recaps, or kind of bigger like?
The Sri Lanka one was really cool with Alvar Hanzo, when they explained cool. Like the numbers, and that was really cool.
That
I
was
like
cool. That. What was the last one?
The Finding 15.
I didn't really.
That kind of tied had the commercials, and they kind of tied it.
Just kind of. Yeah.
I really like this last one.
The Darbo?
It seems more encompassing. It's easier to follow, and more people can get into it.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeff? What's you like the new one?
What's the
for a picture. Who's the new ERG?
Yeah, you got the new
one. You know what? I thought there was an ARG that was lost for label last night. I got some bum info. I was online just trying to sync the six. It said sync the six in the sky, and I'm like, oh, it must be the Oceanic Six, or it must be something. It must be on the land. That's like the whole you know storyline of season 5.
Yeah, we saw that.
I went through sync the six, and it's for a new movie for the prison, based on the Prisoner series.
Yeah,
sync number six.
Man, it's just a void in six.
So I actually spent like, you know, good.
I know, because you came to me and was like, check out this picture, I just got it from my phone.
I spent like a half hour, and then when I realized it wasn't lost for later, I'm like, great.
That was 30 minutes.
I didn't help the show or anything.
So, you okay?
Kind of on the topic of maybe what is canon or not, there's sometimes a debate with some of this stuff. I wanted to know your guys' opinion on the webisodes or mobisodes, whatever those are called on the ABC website.
Mobisodes.
And namely, the one that really blew my mind, which was the one from Vincent's perspective, which actually predates the first scene that we see in episode 1 of Jack waking up. That really blew my mind, and I'm really curious on your take on that scene. So.
You know what's great about those? It's like, it's got to the point now where it had like Michael with the terrible wig, and the son with the terrible wig, and Claire with the terrible wig.
So it's just like the show.
And Jin with the terrible wig. They got kind of really fluffy, and so then I was like, ah, this is stupid. But then that one came out with Christian Shepherd showing up and guiding Vincent, saying, you know, he has more work to do, Jack has more work to do. Then it was like, whoa. But Ryan and Jen, what did you guys?
Well, I remember the producers being asked about those and them saying that it was canon. So I really tried to pay attention to that, and I really tried to take those into consideration.
What about you, Jay?
I think the worst part for us, we decided we're going to have a theory on it. Each one.
Yeah, the crackpot theory for each one. Oh, my God.
He had to come up with one, I had to come up with one. It was like, I got one. Most were like, you know, they had the one with Michael and Son, where they kind of hinted that they had been together, I took it for the one you mentioned, though. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that was the last one, wasn't it?
And that totally set up Christian Shepherd being in Jacob's cabin,
right.
And the whole new Christian Shepherd and Claire kind of storyline.
So most, I don't know how many they have, 10 or 11, most of them were probably as junk as the last one.
I thought there were like 13.
I think there was 13.
The last one, I think, meant something, the other ones were just like...
What about the one with Julia?
Yeah,
well, the Juliet.
Oh, okay,
The power of the creatures.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
Yeah, there was Walt with the dead birds.
Yeah.
And then
we don't know this Walt.
Jimmy from the Comic News Insider is here, ladies and gentlemen. He already sees the microphone. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But we asked him that question on that episode, didn't we, about the birds, the dead birds. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
He was drinking. But no, he said he thought it was pretty cool. But it kind of just follows the same kind of pattern of Walt killing poor defenseless birds. Which is really sad. And very sad. Yeah, dead birds. Ed, over here. Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
I have a question, and part of it relates back to one of the first things that was commented about, that today they suggested there weren't going to be fast forwards or forwards or backs anymore. At the end of this show, we see Ben, he turns the wheel, he's gone.
Yeah.
We know, I think, that he wakes up in the Sahara Desert. Okay. When you think about the time sequence of that, that's something like a year later. Because he's left the island, but he wakes up when Saeed's wife has been killed.
Yeah, 2005, so, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how we explain the fact that a year passes. Where is he for that year? And my thought process on the no forwards or backs anymore is that none of this is going forward or back. It's basically going sideways. It's like another reality. Because I don't see how else he could go from the island, wake up just like that, a year forward.
I always like to bring that to Back to the Future for me, because that's just my understanding of time travel. But I remember when he puts the dog in the car, and Marty goes, "Oh, you just incinerated him." He's like, "No, the dog's fine." And he says he's just jumped that minute to whatever the next minute was. and you know, his win is, and so I think it's just like, I don't really know how to explain whether or not they're saying there's no flash forwards, no flashbacks, or just they're not going to apply that to anything anymore.
I think to counter that, though, was they are very adamant that they're not paradox-based time travel.
Yeah.
Right. And Back to the Future is the paradox-based time travel.
But there's no paradox. There's no paradox inherent in skipping ahead, because you're not affecting the timeline if you leave. It's like if you go to Boston for a year and you come back, you haven't changed the past.
Yeah.
It's just not been in the picture.
Yeah.
So you can go forward but not back, but it doesn't go back with you.
I think we have a question all the way back there.
I have a sort of a general question. Say the internet was around 15 or 20 years ago. What shows would you have podcasted then?
Bosom Buddies.
15 years ago. What's
it? Well, Mag of the Eyes. Well, yeah, you had what? Twin,
Simon. So like 93?
What's the X-Files era? When did X-Files come out? Yeah, 90, so you would have definitely had an X-Files podcast, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Twin Peaks, definitely Twin Peaks, Matthew Fox, we'll see that in Jack's podcast.
Any show with Matthew Fox.
The Party of Five podcast with Jack. Matthew's hair today was so amazing.
He is cute.
You guys still would analyze his tattoos?
Did you have tattoos back then, Party of Five?
Ask Jack.
I didn't watch Party of
Five.
You watched Party of Five. I can tell you which podcast I'll do next about TV.
Army Wars?
None.
Alright,
Someone hasn't asked a question yet?
We're back there, sir.
Yeah, one of the big things about Lost that I like is the fact that they'll tease something and then like a season and a half later, they'll pay it off.
That's a great thing about Lost.
Yeah.
Medical hatch?
Because they don't just drop it like another show would. It's not it's not a throwaway. Mm-hmm. One thing me and my wife did is we went back through the whole series, and anytime there was a major question, I had an Excel spreadsheet and everything. Question was answered, we would go back and put in when it was answered. Mm-hmm. And so we still have a big list of stuff.
You have like an average of what time it takes to answer a question?
Usually about 6 or 7 episodes.
Why is that too
right?
But you get stuff like the four-toed statue.
It's going to
be at least 3 seasons
long.
My question for you guys, and I'd kind of like to hear a little bit from each of you, is do you think they're going to be good about answering all of those? Or is there going to be a whole bunch of stuff that just goes unanswered? I don't mean storylines fleshed out, but I mean like major things like the white and black stone, Adam and Eve in the cave, you know, all those kind of big questions that they've intentionally put into the show.
I think they've already said they're not going to answer it. Yeah, I think it was the first year we were here, 2 years ago at Comic-Con, they said that there's no way they can answer everything.
I think that our imaginations... they might feel that our imaginations might be better than what they actually come up with.
Right.
Yeah.
So our own theories are actually kind of...
But they did say with the four-toed statue, we were supposed to find out last season?
Yeah, this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now that they're going with a Rousseau-centric episode story, neither flashback, flash forward, maybe that will be included in there.
The four toes. I don't think the Sopranos on what they did, they saw how much people hated that. So I don't think they're going to do something like that. I think they would fill in the gaps.
I think we'll be satisfied. I think when the end comes, whether we like it or not, we'll know that it's been ended and a lot of loose ends have been tied up. But I agree, there's too much in here. And you're not even gonna know. It's gonna be like months after the show ends, we're gonna say, "Hey,
we're gonna get your chart.
They never told us.
Read your spreadsheet to find out."
There's things I'll just forget about. Someone will send us an email or something. I go, "Oh, yeah, what did happen to that?" You know, you just there's so much stuff out there.
I kind of don't want to know everything, you know? I personally prefer not to know what the four statues porcelain statues.
I got it. How could you?
These opinions do not necessarily reflect.
It doesn't matter because Miss Jen still has the sexiest voice in podcast.
Yes.
Your second thing.
I would say that something like the four-toed statue, as a specific example, is basically them firing off a flare. I mean, that's not a subtle piece. So that's something that I think you would get, you know, some pretty angry people.
Yeah, I would
not know if that wasn't that.
That's a big, big red herring. If there's nothing that's new about that, they're just like, by the way, your statue. I'm like lost.
I can see David doing that. Yeah.
Going on that theory of questions that are going unanswered, something my friends and I, being that we're all girls and mushy-gushy and all that stuff, one of the major questions that we've always wanted answered is Libby and Hurley. How did they know each other? We know it was somewhere, sometime, somehow, in some kind of...
Well, we're all good stewards. Yes.
Exactly! That is the piece we don't like. It's sad. Hurley actually really fell in love with Libby, and we really felt that Libby was really falling in love with Hurley, and then all of a sudden...
Another reason to hate Mike.
Yeah, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, Libby's gone. I wanted to know if you guys...
There was no wham, bam, by the way.
Santa Rosa at the mental hospital,
right?
Yeah,
in that episode, they kissed for the first time.
Yeah, they're connected somehow and somewhere, so I was wondering if you guys knew anything, if there was any kind of inclination from you guys being in a, you know, higher industry than just us, that they're gonna do anything about this, because poor Hurley, I mean, really, come on, seriously.
He's a sweetheart.
Let's start a competition.
We were the same one as everyone else.
You know, I could come up with a couple of things that I think they might do with that, but that's an example, I think, of something that relates to the last question. That's an example of the kind of thing that they might just like float away and be like, this is one of the mysteries, how do they know each other? I know, I'm sorry. Just not
to do it. You're breaking your heart over there, man, you're breaking it.
I didn't do it.
You could spawn a spin-off, Libby Loves Hurley.
Her question made me think, if there was something that, not thinking about how it's going to affect the further storyline or anything, if there's one thing that you could undo, like Charlie didn't die, or something that you would change, what would it be?
I'm kidding, I'm kidding.
If you could change any one event, you know, anything, whether it be, like for me, I think I would like to see Anna Lucia still on the show. I know that's like the least popular decision ever. Everybody gets to have an opinion. Like I said, I know it's the least popular opinion ever, but that was just the first thing I thought of. What does anybody have an idea with?
I miss Mr. Echo a lot.
Yes, Mr.
His character was supposed to go somewhere, and it didn't, and it was really disappointing to see him have to leave.
I was personally bummed that was because he hated Hawaii.
Yeah.
That was really sad.
Yesterday, he didn't like Hawaii.
And then we heard there was this guy who had pestered him for interviews and stuff like that for a show called The Transmission.
I can't take you, Frederick. I went off the show.
I'm just kidding.
What would you have? I've always said Charlie. I almost tried.
Aww.
I did cry.
Sad.
I'm kidding. I was really sad Charlie died, but I think I said this before, that I trust the story, and, you know, Charlie went down, you know, guns a-blazing, and he went out assuming he was, or we all assumed he was a hero, even though now it's kind of going back and forth.
Did Desmond lie to him?
And those kind of... Russell.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
No.
I like that story. He went out guns a-blazing, and it didn't, like, fade, because, like, season two, like you said, Charlie in diapers. That was a little ridiculous. But then in season three, it's like, he went in there, he was courageous, he went in knowing he was gonna die, trying to save, you know, baby Aaron. And I really had this emotional connection to that whole storyline, and leaving that ring, and Claire didn't even care about getting up to his...
Of course Claire wouldn't care about it.
Ring.
Did Charlie die?
that really still bothered me.
You're going to take my baby! Charlie!
You're going
grieving style. Forgive me.
That's why you gave up on it.
But like that part of Charlie's story was he went out really well, I thought. And I liked the story, came to a nice close.
But I liked him on the show. I think he's a great actor. He's him and Hurley worked great together. They worked great together. I just hated seeing him kill off. But that's the beauty of Lost, though.
Yeah.
We'll take a major star and kill him off.
That's the beauty of Lost?
It's different. It's something that you don't expect. It's not your same basic show, you know, cookie cutter.
But
show.
What I would change, though, is killing off Michael so soon. Even though we may need him for whatever he did, his story I think had a lot more to it. So I would like Michael to be extended. He could die, but I would like him. I'm not saying like
give an extra week.
No, I mean, but it's just like it's like made a scoop about oh Michael's coming back and he was there for like 3 minutes total screen time, and or except for his episode meeting Kevin Johnson. But I would like a conclusion between Walt and Michael. I would like to have you know one last scene.
And then think about Michael. I wish they wouldn't have told us he was coming back.
Exactly.
That,
yeah.
That was like the who didn't know he was on the boat.
Yeah.
The kids man, the boat. Like.
Michael. Darmalars, did you guys have one? I'm sorry. The first season I was watching for some reason, I decided to be a fan of Boom. The whole idea of him following this crazy bald man through the jungle actually kind of reminded me of these two guys. And his, like, I thought he was going to go into this, you know, crazy journey to madness, which he sort of did, but that's a character that I think that even the producers wish they had back. Because we've seen him.
They brought him back.
We've seen him in, like, what, every season?
No, not this
not, season. Not season, season four, but two and three.
Darn writers.
That was a question.
But yeah, I miss Boom.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Boo. Let's get some over here. I think you, buddy, back here. Yes.
All right. Now that we see that Locke's the one in the coffin, do you think Ben is still conning Locke, or do you think Locke is really the chosen one to lead the others?
Yeah. Ooh, what if Locke's faking? He's doing his
pretty deep. Well, Jack is so messed up right now. He wouldn't know, right? If Locke was faking. I don't think Locke is a chosen one. He's just not. He's just never proven he's going to be a leader. I mean, when is he proven he can be a leader?
Who do you think is?
Jack.
Jack.
Jack. I think Jack is a chosen one. He's been the leader. He's been the one there. His dad has ties to the guy.
I was really rooting for Doug there for a while, but.
I know, but how they're going to end up with all this. I don't know.
Maybe it's still Ben. I mean,
Sawyer?
Ben is still the one that's pretty important. You know?
It does feel like he gave up a little too quickly for Ben.
Yeah.
But he's also the kind of guy that would do it like that if he knew that that was the right thing to do.
But he understands that he's always thinking 10 steps ahead.
Exactly.
He understands if I do this, I'm coming back and this is what's going to happen anyway. And right. Ben's going to kind of.
Well, he probably knows Locke is not going to be able to lead him.
Sure.
That's why he goes, okay, I can go away for a while. He's going to screw everything up.
Let him crash and burn.
Right.
Well, that plus the death of Alex, I think maybe that changed his game plan. It's like, oh, wait, I don't want to be, well, I don't, being the leader of these people on this island isn't my goal now. My goal now is to stick it to Whitmore, who just killed my daughter. And maybe that's his new 10 steps ahead of working on that.
But I think he cares more about the island than he does his own daughter.
Well, it was pretty intense when she died.
It was, but I still think deep down he's
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking like, okay, I'm gonna get my revenge for Alex, then I'll get back.
Right.
But equally bitter Daryl than who had their hand up.
Okay, I'm actually throwing a couple of crackpot theories out. We're talking about Ben. We think that, well, I do especially think that Charles Widmore was on the Black Rock. And as well as Richard, and he's been on the island before, and he has actually turned the donkey wheel before, and now can't go back to the island. That's why he's trying to find it. Then Ben did, and then we also think Locke turned the wheel, and that's why he's off the island. So I just wanted to.
I think Christian.
Think what?
Yeah, I think Shepherd did too. That's why he was so impressed and drinking all the time.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yes,
I think it is good.
Yeah.
I definitely
see Matthew Fox out there? A lot of screaming.
This guy's like, Matthew Fox. Was your question answered? Did we get to it? No? Yes?
Yeah. No, sorry.
You agreed with it.
Possibly the theory that other people had turned the docking wheel, possibly been more.
Oh, yeah.
No, I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
All right.
Right
here.
Just one quick question. I want to know how you kind of felt about Claire when you find her in the cabin just sitting down in her easy chair going, yeah, I know what happened. Like, my dad told me everything, you know? Like,
that
she kind of, she was kind of sitting there like, I know exactly what's going on, and he told me in like 5 minutes, and we're like wondering for the rest of our lives here watching.
Jay, that's your girl. You want to answer? You want to answer that?
Claire?
Yeah.
She's my girl?
Yeah.
Still? It's like, look, they talk about today in the panel, or am I mixing up the EW panel yesterday?
They said we'd find out more about
About Claire.
That,
like,
was,
maybe,
that was
yeah, it was yesterday's panel, the EW Vision, or is it Visionaries Television Film Runners panel. They were talking about how Claire, she's not gone, she may be gone for a while, but we're going to get back to that, so it's kind of on the back burner now.
Yeah, she would be in season 5.
She would be in season 5,
at some point.
But like not.
We
like,
would see her again.
Yeah, we'd see her again.
She's not alive.
Yeah.
Did they say season 5?
I'm pretty sure
they
said next year.
They said 65? Okay.
Yeah, that was really creepy. And I love how Claire is just so quick to be glassed over and led around. Like, like when Ethan had her, and she's like, oh, my baby. I have an injection. And then she shows up in the cabin, she's like, yeah, I'm in the ghost cabin, what's up?
And she's really crazy about her baby, kind of giving her some kind of drugs, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of sad. But, poor Claire.
Dig yourself.
That's why she sold out Charlie so much too. It's like, internet, Charlie. We're him with Christian now. Any other questions over here?
Anyone else hasn't asked anyone?
So we were talking about answers and getting them. And in season 4, we saw the polar bear end up in Tunisia.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of, if you think about it, you realize that Dharma must have used the polar bears to turn the frozen donkey wheel or frozen polar bear wheel to test it or to move the island in the past. So I just wanted to say, like, in Lost, you know, we don't get a lot of face value answers, but they're subtle, and if you look for the answers, you can kind of, you can piece things together. So I don't think we're going to get everything answered, but there's things like that. Like, from the first episode in season 1, we've been like, what the hell are these polar bears doing? And then at the end of season 4, even some of my friends were like, oh yeah, I could see that, but it's real. It's an answer right in front of us. And I feel like they're going to come through.
But like you said, it's in front of you, but it's not really in print. Say, this is the answer, guys. You have to kind of figure that out.
And I think they give enough tools, enough, you know, puzzle pieces to kind of figure it out.
It's officially the frozen polar bear wheel.
It's a polar bear wheel.
That's great, because that way you don't have to say, oh, I can't ever go back to the island. I pulled wheel turning duty today. Just throw a polar bear in there.
Is that one step below workman? It's like workman, then donkey wheels. Yeah. All right, we have time for maybe a couple more questions. Jordash, right there.
So I am a real big loser, and I haven't talked to anybody in 2 years. But I read Valis, Philip K. Dick's Valis, that Locke gives Ben. Yeah! So that's the book. You should all read it, because it's majorly screwy. And but it deals with the fact that, like, there kind of is no time. Like, we're all on top of each other, like this.
Hey, no. It's cool.
And
just Lost we're talking about?
No. But so, you know, you turn your polar bear wheel, and you're like, you know, you've done the Marty McFly jump, and you're gone. But the island's somewhere else in another dimension or time zone. And then, you know, everyone else is like in 2004, 2005, but they're all existing at the same time. And the whole thing in the book is it's like there's this dude who's here, and then he's seeing ancient Rome at the exact same time, like over LA or San Francisco or something. And so it's this idea that, like, we're all living, that there is no... You're, like, so confused. You're just like, I'm in pain.
But it's also a Philip K. Dick book.
Yeah.
So he's also, could be just high out of his mind.
He could. I Wikipedia'd it afterwards. He totally was like, this is real. This happened to me.
That's his autobiography.
Yeah, it's his autobiography.
I had to do it.
It's messed up. But you should all read it if you have the time to go. I'm going to read this. It's really disturbing. But yeah, but like it's Valis. But it's all about like how
well.
Yeah, it looks like that. But it's, you know, time.
It's more about layers. But that's kind of to conceptually can be the same idea as the circle.
Yeah.
Is if you think of, oh, I'm on a loop, it's this, then you're on the same level. But yeah.
All right. We need to just do one more question, then we'll close out everything. You back there, sir.
I didn't get my answer, my question answered during the panel. That was the last guy.
Are we the last one?
Yeah. So I really wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
The idea that they named Locke.
We have a prize up here.
They named Locke Jeremy Bentham, and as soon as that name popped up, because that's something I studied in history class in high school, his big thing was the Panopticon, which was that prison bill where you could watch everyone
at the
same time, and the people had no idea they were being watched. So I wanted to, like, things happen on the island where clearly people know what's going on at all times, so is there someone watching that island at all times and knows everything that's happening?
The whispers, maybe, that could very well be it.
And it's they had a surveillance system in the underground.
Yeah. If you're at the EW showrunners panel today, someone asked a similar question about Jerry Bentham and why they picked the name and stuff like that. And Ryan and Jen, you were there too. You want to say what they said about that?
Well, the Panopticon was a specific question asked. You know, there was a big fan of Jeremy Bentham. I think it was Joe Pippi, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. They said that it's not one of the central references in their mythology. It's not in the, probably not the top shelf of their library, but it was something that was in the back of their heads.
Yeah, they also talk about having like a list of philosophers' names to pick. And once they found out like Locke was going to have a name,
right?
They said, oh, this guy's perfect to fit in for
another big thing about Bentham that I read, I don't know if it's true, that is that when he died, he was stuffed.
His head. They took his head. People got to see
his head. Locke died and this guy's dead, so maybe that's one. But I can see that they're being watched at all times. That would make sense. I can also see that there's a dusty room somewhere where everything's being watched and no one's been there for 20 years. Like, all the monitors are still running, but ain't no one home.
Yeah.
And for asking a question about the island, we do have a prize for you.
There you go.
Yeah, these are really good.
They're from the island. Sweet.
I got fishers.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Oh, I didn't eat it.
All right, so guys. Let's call 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
That's 206-309-0311. Calling time. Stop saying what they used to do. Have a Ryan and Jen to go with that. Say something while you close out. Say context stuff. Hawaiian.com/lost for the transmission of amazing podcasts and the Dharma Lanes. If you want to say that.
Lost a little bit.
You guys remember your phone number?
803-0127.
Calling time.
So thank you everybody for coming today. Alright guys, that is our
show.
Extended Comic-Con experience show.
Yes.
For this someday.
You know what's funny is in the thing, I didn't realize it, when we did our 206 or not, I didn't realize everybody was singing it.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
I didn't know until after I heard it. I was like, well, I didn't realize everyone was singing
it. Give us a call at 206-209-0311.
It said 209.
What? 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
It's 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
With the awesome.
How do you forget questions, that phone comments, number?
I don't know.
What's 209?
I don't know.
You know, it's funny. It's the whole time calling on my cell phone back here. I had to go 919.
Yeah. That's why I do my presets already 919.
And I'm like going, so I came out here, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing 919. I don't have to do that.
Also give us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's
lostpodcast@gmail.com.
Also, you can check out our website at jandjack.com with all important information related to the show. Also, you can pick up a Save Log Carrying Guy 08 t-shirt from shopsalmonate.com.
Please do. They're, like Sydney said, if you go on YouTube and do the questions, you can actually they actually showed the people asking the questions.
Yeah.
You can see Sydney holding up her sign and asking. She did a great job.
She did.
So confident. Just went up there and said, please, please, please save Log Carrying Guy.
Because there's only so many left.
There are.
And we need to do what we can to
and
save
we're still
them.
Working on that interview with Sean.
who plays Doug,
the log carrying guy,
the famous guy who's shot in the stomach.
It's just a matter of getting time to his schedule's not working with our schedule, but we're hoping within the next week or so.
Exactly. So that is all we got for today. Look for vidcasts from the EW Visionary Showrunners Visionaries with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Kuse. Look for videos from our own Lost panel, the Jay and Jack Lost panel, and also video from the official Lost panel.
Right.
All right. So we're actually going to close out the show with bitter Daryl's PG-13 call.
Yeah, and we're going to try and play his...
We'll see if he allows to play that rated R call on the Jay and Jack show uncut.
It was really... When I told you to listen to it, I said, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
I said, he's cracking me up. We love Bitter Daryl. He's fun.
Yes. 2 years in a row. Yes. On the line.
Anybody else want to say? No, that's it. Thanks again. Like I said, I can't thank you guys enough for showing up. And next year, I would suggest buying your tickets early because it'll probably be...
I think we're going to buy our tickets now, actually.
Yeah, I think it's going to... We don't want to take a chance because it's probably going to sell out.
Exactly.
Do we know what day the Lost panel is going to be on?
Nope. All right, we'll see you guys next time on the Lost Podcast. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, Jane Jack. This is Bitter Daryl calling from L.A. I just got back from Comic-Con and I... I just wanted to call up and say thank you to both you and Jack again for putting on a wonderful panel at this year's Comic-Con. It was great to see you guys. I also enjoyed everyone being up there, and the panel was a little different this year. And, you know, I was talking with Fallon and saying just, you know, how great it is to go there. And, yeah, we go to the big events and we go and see the big movie stars, but it's great to be part of the little community that you guys have created, and of course being first in line is really important, but actually seeing how big the line was this year, you guys are going to need Ballroom 20 or Hall H next year to fit everybody in. So, you know, it's just great. And also, I know this is going to be a kiss-ass phone call, or kiss-butt or whatever, butt-kissing, there we go. Got to get used to these American terms. But, you know, just to thank you guys for everything you do. You know, I know you guys put a lot of work into it. And Fallon and I were talking about how much you guys have affected our lives. Like, I can't watch a Mel Gibson movie without thinking about his baby blue eyes. I can't even say the word five anymore without saying, you know, the five questions for Jack. People just look at me as if I'm going a bit insane. But, and also almost getting into a fight, sticking up for that guy I was talking about on the when you video recorded me getting in line when you said that you guys sucked and that Lost sucked. It was almost a Lost fan, Stargate fan smackdown, which would have been interesting. Probably I'd be the first person to get into a fight at Comic-Con. It was a bunch of nerds. But anyway... It was great, and thanks again, and good luck, and I hope you had a safe trip back home, and I hope you enjoyed your time there. Take care.